Welcome to Chip Health with Dr. Hans Diehl. On today's broadcast, we'll discover effective ways to be healthy by choice and not by chance. Gaining and maintaining optimum health is possible at any age. That's what thousands are learning at the Complete Health Improvement programs offered across the country and around the world. The results are proven. The benefits, priceless. I'm your Chip Health host, Charles Mills. Having a hard time losing weight? Well, guess what? It might not be the food you're eating, but rather what you are putting on or what a manufacturer is putting in that food that's causing the problem. If we would reduce one particular food additive, we could save 90,000 lives and 99,000 heart attacks each and every year. And I can almost guarantee you that you have this item on your table at every meal. What is it? What does it do to you? Let's find out. Okay, Dr. Diehl, I've got people wondering what terrible ingredient is causing so much damage in this world. What are we talking about? Sugar, red peppers, soy sauce, curry, what?
You suspect some very, lurking in the dark food ingredient that has been added to it by the industry, right?
Yes.
Well, actually, we're talking about something that most of us use very generously without any idea what we're doing to ourselves. The substance is called sodium chloride or common table salt.
Table salt.
And we're finding ourselves now in a virtual salt assault. We're being assaulted by the excessive amount of salt in our diet. We really only need about 500 milligrams of sodium, which is the particle of the salt that is so important. And yet most of us take in 10 times the amount.
So we need 500 milligrams a day. We take in 5,000 milligrams a day. Am I right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right.
Now, Dr. Diehl, I have a salt shaker on my table. I don't see myself putting 5,000 milligrams of sodium on my food. Where's it coming from?
You know, when you talk about 1,000, that sounds like a huge amount. Let's break that down. When you talk about 5,000 milligrams of sodium, that's the same as 5 grams of sodium. And you have about 2,000 or 2 grams of sodium in a teaspoon. So when you talk about 5 grams or 5,000 milligrams of sodium, you're really talking about 2.5 teaspoons of salt.
Okay. So if all the salt that I'm shaking onto my food could fit into 2.5 teaspoons, I am overdoing, or am I just about right?
No, you're really overdoing.
Overdoing, okay.
But you know, the interesting part is you can ban the salt shaker from your table, and still you would be assaulted by this white ingredient, because most of the salt, probably 80% of the salt we eat, 80% of the sodium that we take in, comes from processed foods. It comes from restaurant foods. It doesn't come from the salt shaker in your home. It's a good thing to ban it, but you know, you're only solving a minor problem. The big problem is processed foods. The big problem is restaurant foods. That's where the salt is. That's where the sodium is.
Now, why on earth do we insist on having that much salt? I mean, we're talking about mega doses of salt. We just don't see it. If food doesn't have salt in it, we know it. Something's wrong. It doesn't taste quite right. Salt is missing, and so is the taste. Are we equating? Has our tongue become so used to salt that we equate taste with salt?
Yeah, I think that's true. It's an habituating type thing. Once you're on a salt kick, you want to have more and more and more. And then you have to also recognize that many of our foods today that are processed, they're engineered foods, they've actually lost the subtle, natural, intrinsic flavors that used to be in that original food. We have removed that. We have processed, we have engineered this, and to now make up for these losses of subtle flavors, we usually use powerful peppers and sugars and particularly salt to make up for it. And so salt has developed in our society a primary status. And when we go to more natural foods and they're not over-salted, there's not very much salt or sodium added to it, we say, there's something wrong here. Mm. Like you said, it doesn't taste right. Salt is something that we have gotten used to, and when it's missing, we kind of think it's flat.
Yes, yes.
Don't like it.
And I'm beginning to think also because of the depletion of the soil and the way foods are grown today and all the chemicals that are put on non-organic vegetables that they may not even have the taste they used to have. So not only are foods that we eat, that we buy at the grocery store that have been fertilized and all the things that food happened to them, they taste less, and so our tongues, which have been so used to salt, want the salt. So now that divide seems to be growing. Food that doesn't taste as much and salt that we crave. Am I on the right track here?
Yeah, you know, we have found that because sodium, you know, the ingredient in salt, yeah, is one of the key factors for high blood pressure in our society. And we have about 65 million hypertensives in our society. And that, of course, contributes to strokes, sure, and heart disease, yeah, and so on. We are placing some people on low sodium diets. We say, we want you to cut back on your salt, less sodium, read labels. And people come back to us and say, listen, I can't handle this. This has no taste. And what we usually help people understand is that taste is learned. And if you stick with that for 2, 3, 4 weeks, and then you have been now on a low sodium diet for 3, 4 weeks, and now you're being invited to a friend's home, and they have the same foods that you used to have, right? Yes. So they have a commercial soup that they're prepared for you, and all of a sudden you sit there and you take your first spoon of soup, and you say to your wife, you know, you kind of punch her in the rib a little bit gently, and say, boy, I tell you, it looks like she dropped the salt shaker in the soup. And then your wife kind of, makes sure that you don't say that too loudly, you know. I mean, you don't want to be a social clod, you know. And so you don't say anything. And then all of a sudden you realize that's how you loved your soup 4 weeks ago yourself. That's where you were at 4 weeks ago. And you begin to realize that you have changed your taste buds. Your body, your taste buds on your tongues begin to change. And you all of a sudden feel that the salt that you loved 4 weeks ago is now becoming a detriment to you, to your enjoyment of food. So that's good news.
There's a lesson to learn right there, which means, Dr. Deal, that the taste that we crave in much of the food that we eat in the standard American diet is salt or sugar. We're not really tasting the food. We're wanting the salt. And after 3 or 4 weeks, you're saying, as we let go of these things, that our tongue can really be retrained and we start enjoying the foods. I know this for a fact. It happened to me, too, on this transition. So you're absolutely right. So we have to be patient, I'm hearing you say. We have to be patient as we make the transition from a high-salt diet to one that is more natural. Am I right?
Yeah, it takes about 2 to 4 weeks to make that adjustment, and then we're fine. And then we begin to taste nuances of flavors in our natural food that we perhaps never even knew were there because this salt was so overpowering. And we want to get away from salt because salt, to the extent that we use it, stays in our body tissues and begins to hold extra water. And it's this water that's being held, sometimes 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 pounds, that only gives us extra weight. But more importantly, this water that's being held in the tissues causes a swelling in the tissues, which then raises the blood pressure, which then in turn increases stress on the heart, and now we are sitting ducks for a stroke or heart disease. So we want to recognize that the body doesn't like the sodium to the large extent in our tissues, and so it holds water to dilute the sodium in the tissues, so makes it less, harmful. But in the process, it holds water, we gain weight, and this water is in these very, very fine tissues where you have these very fine capillaries. Mm-hmm. And then as the pressure builds up in these tissues, it presses on these little capillaries, and thus the capillaries are somewhat compressed, and it's more difficult for blood to flow through these small capillaries,
yes,
and the blood pressure has to go up to push it through these narrowed vessels.
Boy. Now, what about water pills? We've heard of this. Doctors can suggest them. Are these the answer to this problem?
Well, I mean, yeah, they do help us to remove some of the water, but why would you want to take a powerful pill that reduces the water in the system and then at the same time still eat salt? I mean, if we really have a water logging problem, the first line of defense is not the diuretic pill, but I think the first line of defense should be to reduce the salt, the sodium in the diet.
Now, when we do that, when we reduce the salt and sodium down to acceptable levels, does our body eventually get rid of the excess water and salt that's being trapped by our bodies?
Yeah, usually as we are losing weight, as the salt goes down, usually the blood pressure comes down as well. In most cases, sometimes we need to keep some people on medication, but we probably have a 60 to 70% chance that when people that are on diuretic pills, on blood pressure lowering medication, that 60 to 70% of these people can be off these medications within 4 to 8 weeks by making some simple lifestyle changes such as reducing salt, also losing some weight, and getting into a walking program.
Now, Dr. Deal, we have a break coming up, and when we come back, I want to talk about how we can determine how much salt and how much sodium we have in our body. Perhaps you can give us some guidelines and maybe even some formulas for working that out, because we do not want to damage ourselves with what we think is so wonderful, and that is salt and sodium. So we'll discover those gems of truth when we come back, so stay right where you are. Ready to improve your overall health? Diet and exercise are vital, but so is another lifestyle adjustment, attitude. Keeping a daily gratitude journal for just 2 to 3 weeks has been shown to improve mental health and general well-being in organ transplant recipients. Recording thankful thoughts also increases energy, enthusiasm, and attentiveness in healthy people too. If you're a glass half-empty kind of person, you might want to start recording your blessings today.
Concerned about those extra pounds, high blood pressure, diabetes, cholesterol, depression, and heart disease? I'm Dr. Hans Dehl, inviting you to join the people in the know and enroll in the next CHIP program in your area. It can make all the difference.
For more information about the Complete Health Improvement Program and to transform CHIP's proven results into priceless benefits for you and your family, visit chiphealth.org. Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We're here with Dr. Hans Dehl, founder and director of the Complete Health Improvement Program. And today we're talking about salt. And Dr. Dehl, we're about to enter into some rather confusing areas. So I guess you please talk slowly and clearly for us, because we want to know what we're looking at as far as the amount of salt we're bringing into our body, what we're looking at as the amount of sodium we're bringing in our bodies, and what the acceptable levels are, and how to figure all that out. Could you help us?
You know, we need to really cut back on our salt. We take 2.5 times more salt than is recommended. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, we probably take 10 times more than the body really needs. Now, we talk about salt. Scientists talk about sodium. Mm-hmm. Sodium is the ingredient in the salt that is responsible for the hypertension. So we want to now really cut back on our sodium. And the governmental agencies, the Institutes of Medicine, has now released some guidelines. They said if you are already hypertensive, mm-hmm. if you are middle-aged plus, or if you're an Afro-American, you should cut your sodium down to 1,500 milligrams. 1,500 milligrams is what they recommend, no more than that. Maybe I can bring some, read some labels to you that gives us some idea to help us to see where the sodium is, right?
Right.
I found some garbanzo beans, you know, some of those chickpeas?
Yes.
Yeah.
They're delicious.
And I looked at the label here, and it says here the serving size is 1/2 cup. That's 130 grams, and you have about 400-some grams in here. So this is for 1/3 of the cup here. 1/3 of this can here holds 460 milligrams. So if you take the whole can times 3, you would have about 1,300 plus milligrams of sodium, right?
Mm-hmm.
1,300 milligrams of sodium. And you shouldn't have more than 1,500 milligrams for the whole day. So there's one can here of good beans, really, yes, you know, those yes. chickpeas, garbanzo beans. Yeah. This one can, if I would eat this whole can here, and this is just a regular size can, 15 ounces, if I have this whole can of garbanzo beans, I will have the equivalent of almost what the government says we shouldn't have for the whole day, namely 1,500 milligrams.
Yeah, okay. So you would look at that and say, okay, I should not, if I eat this whole can of garbanzo beans, then I really shouldn't salt anything, and I shouldn't eat anything more salty that day, if you want to stay within those guidelines, I hear you saying.
I mean, you have to be devoid of any salt for the whole day.
Right.
No sodium. Now, I have here another can here. This is, it says here, I took this from my wife's shelf. It says sweet peas, no salt added.
Okay.
Right? And again, this will be for one third of it. Let's take a look here. It says sodium, 10 milligrams, so times three. This says 30 milligrams. The other one had almost 1,500 milligrams. Do you see?
Absolutely.
Just by buying foods where it says no salt added, especially when it comes to beans and to peas. Some of the manufacturers always add a lot of salt to these kind of things. We need to read labels, or if you want to do it, you can buy the dry beans and, you know, cook them yourself because there's no salt there.
Well, now, you came up with a formula. You've told me about this before, and I think it just works so beautifully. For those of us who go into the store and we pick up a package and we look at it, there is a little bit of a trick we can do here to determine whether what we're holding in our hands contains too much sodium. And what is that trick? And this works really good. What is that trick, Dr. Deal?
Yeah, I learned this from one of my friends. He talked about the rule of thumb in reducing sodium.
Yeah.
And what he said is, he said, what you want to do, you want to take a look at the label, and you want to see how many calories are in a serving size. Now, with the garbanzo beans, it says here, it contains 110 calories for one third of this can, right? And he said, what you want to make sure is that the number of milligrams of sodium never exceeds the number of calories. So this has 110 calories in one third of the can. It says calories, 110 calories. And when I look for sodium, that should be 110 milligrams of sodium as well. But it has 460 milligrams.
Yes. Okay.
So now you see, I know this has four times more sodium than it should have. Let me go to my sweet peas, no salt added label. And here now it says your calories, 60 calories per serving, and sodium, 10 milligrams per serving, which means it's less than 60, right?
Yep.
So this is a great product when it comes to reducing sodium. This has fewer sodium particles than it has calories.
All right.
While the chickpeas has 110 calories, but 460 milligrams of sodium. So the point here is choose packaged products that have fewer milligrams of sodium than they have calories.
You told a story on another program I did with you once upon a time, Dr. Deal, about a gentleman who faced the situation that we're asking some people to face right now. We touched on this in the first half of the show. This gentleman was at a live-in program, I think, with Dr. Ornish, and he came to you and said, you know, I think you should fire the cook. Remember that story, Dr. Deal?
I do.
Can you share that story? Because that's a cool story, and it really gives us hope if you hear that story. Listen to this carefully.
Well, I was in a residential treatment facility where people would come with high blood pressure problems, heart disease, and so on. And, you know, some of these people are fairly affluent. They were people of means. And this man came to me and he said, look, you know, I didn't spend all my time and my energy in becoming a fairly affluent man now to eat this food. I mean, this has no taste. I want some salt. I want you to fire the chef. Well, you know, when you have chefs that have been very carefully trained in preparing good tasting food without all the salt and all the sugar and so on, you know, you value these chefs and you treat them very, very well. And so I wasn't about to consider to have this man replaced. And so I said to this gentleman, I said, you know, why don't you give me a couple of weeks? It will take a little time to get this all sorted out. Over the next 2 weeks, this man began to get used to the low sodium foods. And after 2 weeks, he finally came to me and he said, well, listen, this food is not tasting good. I'm so glad you finally got rid of this chef. Well, listen, I did not fire the chef. I did not have the chef change his cooking. But what had changed were the taste buds of my patient participant friend who had gotten used to and now began to enjoy the food. That's why we said it takes about 2 to 4 weeks to make some of these taste adjustments, and you'll be okay.
All right. That's an important story because I think that there will be some who will become discouraged very quickly when they start choosing items in the store where the calorie count number is equal to or more than the sodium count. That's the determination there. When they start eating more fruits and vegetables, they're so used to having that salt assault on their taste buds and their body. Their body's almost craving it. When you stop that from coming in, your body says, hey, where's my salt? But you can train it. You have the power. You're basically, Dr. Deal, I think, forming a different habit, aren't you?
Yeah, you do. You begin to eat more real food, food as it comes in nature. You begin to eat food, plant-based whole foods that are not doused with all the sodium, the salt in this case here. And you want to really zero in on whole grains. You want to zero in on legumes like the beans, but make sure that you buy them very wisely if you buy them in a can. You want to eat more fresh fruits and more fresh vegetables. And again, when you go out and eat in a restaurant, you need to tell the person, you know, I'm sorry, I'm hypertensive. My doctor wants me, blame it on the doctor. My doctor wants me to have a low sodium diet.
Yes!
Can you somehow hold the salt? And if you go to a better restaurant where they prepare actually the food oftentimes from scratch, you're fine. But if you go to a restaurant where everything's already prepared, you're stuck.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the things you can put on food that might help you over the hump here and might help you in the transition. Are there products that you can sprinkle on, pour on, spray on to food that can give you sort of a salty taste without giving you that salt assault that we're talking about today?
You know, I love Mrs. Dash. That's sort of a brand name, and Mrs. Dash is has no sodium in it, no salt in it, and it has herbs that you can use to season your food very, very nicely. It's a great product. You have Bragg's Aminos, that's sort of a liquid kind of a thing. It has some salt in it, but it's reduced. You can use some potassium chloride. This is salt that has sort of no sodium in it. It has the potassium replacing the sodium, but it sort of has a taste like salt. So, you know, you might want to try this, and that's a very good product unless there's some kidney disease and you have to be careful. But then you also have all these different kinds of herbs that you can use. You can use fresh herbs, you can use dried herbs. You know, go and check out the herbal area on your supermarket shelf. It's just amazing what is out there. Herbs instead of salt.
And also in your book, Health Power, you mentioned a number of different kinds of seasonings you can have for vegetables, and I won't go into all of them, but you mentioned things like lemon juice and garlic and onion and basil. There are all kinds of things. I think what we're doing is our tongue is saying, hey, this should taste more than it does. And if you can spice it up a little bit with some of these natural ingredients, the bell peppers and the mushrooms and onions and the dill, your tongue is going, okay, here the taste is back, I'm fine. And that taste does not necessarily have to be a salty taste. Am I on the right track here?
That's right. Okay. Well, we just want you to stem the salt assault and live a happier and healthier life with low blood pressure and less likely to have a stroke and a heart attack.
And when you do that, when you have finally been able to bring your tongue around and you have retrained your body, is your body capable of removing the built-up excess sodium that it has been storing in those cells and in those fat cells and in your body and all that liquid? When can you see that stuff starting to come out, and what's it feel like when that happens?
It probably takes 3, 4, 5 weeks, and your salt comes out of storage, and your body begins to let go of the water. So you can probably lose 3, 4, 5 pounds of weight in 4, 5, 6 weeks just by reducing your sodium intake.
And this is the type of weight that if you are not dumping more salt into your body is not going to pick back up again. A lot of people can lose weight by losing liquid, by losing moisture in the body. But you're saying that when you turn off the salt assault, that the body will eventually lose this excess weight, but it won't gain it back as long as you're not repeating the conditions that caused it, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
So I think we want to become more aware that most processed foods are high in sodium. We also want to be aware that most of our restaurant food is very high in sodium. Mm-hmm. And we need to begin to zero in more on whole food, plant-based diet.
This is important for us to tell our listeners, because it is not always easy to do what we say to do on this program, to give up the salt, to reduce the salt, I should say, to change over to the plant-based diet. You have to have some patience, because I know, Dr. Deal, I have friends that have said, okay, we're going to try this. No, they don't like it. After a week, no, we didn't like that. It didn't work. I'm going back to the way we were. And just, I guess what we're saying here is, please be patient. And there is a program out there that can help you through this process. And that, of course, is the Complete Health Improvement Program, which Dr. Deal founded and he's the director of. And tell us a little bit about that process. We have about a minute and a half left in the program, Dr. Deal. What can people discover when they attend a CHIP program?
The CHIP program is empowering people to make wiser choices, to move more towards a diet that is more in harmony with how the body functions, and then to add some walking program to it and have a good attitude. And you can begin to realize that you are now beginning to take charge of your health. Health is not so much what the doctors do to us. They can help us. But when it comes to chronic disease, when it comes to heart disease, when it comes to strokes and diabetes, we need to begin to take more responsibility for our own well-being. And we can change what we put in our body, and we can change our disease processes. We can reverse many of these disease processes in weeks.
And you have testimonial after testimonial after testimonial that just proves that to be absolutely correct. Listener, if you'd like more information about that program, you can certainly visit www.chiphealth.org, CHIP Health, name of the program, chiphealth.org. And there you can find resources, also a schedule of where the CHIP program is coming, some books, a cookbook. CHIP knows that this is going to be a tough row for some people. CHIP knows that. Some people can breeze right through it and they just have no problem at all. Some people struggle a little bit, but CHIP knows that. And CHIP will teach you how to shop and how to eat out and how to fix meals for your family and lunches for your kids at school. This is a lifestyle change. It's not a diet. It is not simply something you try. It is something you become. You become interested in your health. You become connected to your health. You become a power in yourself that is making this happen for you. And I just recommend, listener, that you visit chiphealth.org, check out the resources there, and perhaps join one of the programs. You will not be sorry. It will change your life. And that's what we need. Dr. Deal, thank you so much for being with us today and telling us all about salt. We appreciate your words of wisdom. Thank you, Dr. Deal.
Thank you.
And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Dr. Hans Deal inviting you to begin enjoying health by choice, not by chance. Goodbye, everyone.